So I'm going to continue the sermon series about turning pain into spiritual gain. And today we're going to talk about the inner transformation that has to happen. And the Bible presents the doctrine of transformation to us. And it is a powerful set of scripture. And it speaks words of power, not on our part, but on the God that we serve. And there are some things that we can take out of the scripture and apply it immediately, because let's just talk bluntly here today, okay? When pain comes into our lives, we don't like to deal with it a lot of times, okay? And generally, the ways we deal with it are not healthy. So what we end up doing is taking pain that comes into our lives and dealing with it in an incorrect fashion, and then we allow the pain to take hold of us and change us and to transform us into people that we're not meant to be, all right? So what we need to have happen is to understand the doctrine of transformation that the Bible presents to us so that we can go into it with our eyes wide open, and then we can take the pain that is in our lives, has been in our lives for a long time, and then we can deal with it appropriately, and then we can come out on the other side of it healthier and in a better place to deal with the next set or the next problem pain that comes into our lives. Okay? Now, what I just explained to you is called sanctification, and that is called the maturing of the soul. And that is the process of Christianity, the Christian walk that we go through here each and every day. In fact, if you're not growing as a Christian each and every day, then you're wasting a day. All right? So what we need to do is to look at pain in an appropriate manner, because what can end up happening is that the struggle and the trial of the pain can... There's a dead spot there, isn't there? Okay. So the trial and the struggle of the pain can actually make us stronger once we appropriately deal with it. Okay? So let's look here. All right. Here's some unhealthy transformations that happen when pain comes into our lives and we do not deal with it appropriately. Number one, and this is probably the most used mechanism that happens inside of us, is that we just either fail or we refuse to recognize and deal with the pain that exists in our lives. Now, this happens in families, this happens in individuals, this happens in churches. And what we tend to do is just sweep stuff under the rug. And if you sweep enough stuff under the rug's bigger than the couch. And you can't walk around in your living room anymore. So what's happening is that so many of us are refusing to deal with the pain that the pain is now taking control of us. The other one, trying to work. Now understand what I'm saying here. Trying to work to overcome the pain. And what we do here is that we can do this in several different kinds of ways. And we can throw ourselves into our work, our actual job. We can throw ourselves into some kind of work in the community, or we can start doing religious work, and we start thinking that if I can just work enough and keep myself busy enough, then I won't ever have to deal with the pain that's in my life. Now, that's not a healthy way, because you can overwork yourself, and in fact, you can do work that is just busy work that doesn't ever accomplish anything. And sometimes when I watch people do some of the stuff that they're doing and I see myself doing the things that I'm doing, I have to recognize that I'm just doing busy work. And sometimes it's so that I don't have to deal with the struggle or the pain that is looking me dead in the eyes at that very moment in my life. It's unhealthy. Okay? Then the other one is that the pain transforms who we are. And it turns us, our whole personality, into a different person. And now we have become a hurter so that we don't ever have to allow ourselves to be hurt. So what the pain has done is that someone else has hurt us to the degree that we don't ever want to be hurt at that level again. So I'm never going to allow myself to be sensitive enough to someone else's needs, or their affection, or their friendship, or their love, or their compassion, and now it's hardened my heart to the point that I am a hurter, so that I don't have to deal with the hurt that I have to deal with, that exists in my life. So now there's a negative transformation that has happened. We've gone from being a person who was capable of being hurt to now we're a person who hurts so that we don't allow ourselves to ever be hurt again. And sometimes this comes in varying degrees. There are people who are flat out mean. And then it could just be that person whose self-esteem is low and they don't really enjoy who they are. So now instead of working on them, they tear everybody else down around them. I mean, do you know these people? It doesn't matter who you talk about. I'm going to embarrass my Aunt Les. My Aunt Les, I've never heard her say a negative word about anybody on earth. If you talk about the devil, she'll say, well, now he was in heaven at one point. Okay? Is that how she's put up with you all those years? Sorry. But then there's the flip side of that person who, it wouldn't matter who you're talking about, they're going to tear them down. And they do it, and we have to understand why they do that. They're doing that to build themselves up. Doesn't work, makes them look mean and foolish, but that's how we cope with the pain that's inside of our lives. And then there's the other one, is that we allow pain to the pain that came into our lives, now that dictates every decision from here on out. And we're making, these are some of those interpersonal vows that we talked about a couple weeks ago, where, you know, my mom told my dad how it was, and I will never allow myself to be talked to like that by a woman. And that can spread in different kinds of ways. And sometimes we make these inner vows, and sometimes they're, a lot of times, and most of the times they're associated with pain that has come into our lives. And now what we say is, I will never do that again. And you see this with people who come out of horrible relationships. You know, I will never allow myself to get close to someone like that again, okay? I will never date again, whatever it is, okay? Whatever it is, but the pain has just come in and we're not dealing with it. And the way that we're going to deal with it is that I will never put myself in that position again. So now I have, and here's what we've done, is we've taken a section of our lives and we've removed it from any influence that God can have on that life, part of your life. And we say that, hey, you can't come in here, God, because I dictate everything that happens here, and you can send me the best or whatever that the situation is, and I won't look at it twice because I'm not going to allow that to happen to me again. And this dictates every decision, and it all goes back, and the root of it is that pain. And then here's the other one, and this is dealing with catastrophic pain, usually. And this is where life just stops once that pain enters your life. And this happens usually in a catastrophic event or some kind of thing, but we just end up kind of just stop living because we can't ever deal with that pain. So now my life, for whatever reason, if it's guilt of ever being happy again, if it's ever being able to move on, or that you feel like that you just can't get past that because it's something you know, whatever's going on there, because you think that is insulting to the situation or to the person that was involved in, but we just never move on in our life, in all reality just kind of stops at that point. And we live, but we can't ever live past that pain, because our life stopped when that pain hit us there. All right? Now, there's a thousand other different kind of little things that we do, you know, that makes us who we are. And we have different kinds of personality types. There are those who just speak their mind at every situation. There are those who are passive-aggressive. They wait till you leave to get mad at you and all that kind of stuff. There's just all different kinds of personalities going on here. But the Bible talks about a transformation that can happen inside of our lives. Okay? So let me talk to you a little bit about the difference here. There's transference. This is where instead of dealing with things healthy and appropriately as the Bible calls us to do, we take it and we transfer it in some kind of self-protective mechanism that's built inside of our personality, and we throw it off in a negative kind of way, like we just talked about. And that is a self-protective measure that's built inside of us, and it goes along with our personalities. And the quicker that you can identify how you mishandle pain in your life, the better you will be. But the Bible talks about transformation. And this is a part, and this is in the concept, in the reality of what we call salvation. Because we understand that once Jesus Christ comes to live into your heart, that you are made a new creature. You are put a new, healthy, righteous spirit that exists inside of your mortal body. Okay? And then you receive justification at that point. Justification is when you're deemed not guilty. I don't care what you've done, you're deemed not guilty because Jesus Christ lives in your heart. And then you are sanctified, which means that you are made holy. Okay? And you say, well, how can someone like me ever be made holy? Because you are paid for and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now this process of being made holy, saint-like, is progressive throughout the rest of your life. And how you deal with pain, understand this, how you deal with pain in your life, it decides how much you're going to be able to progress in your walk with Christ. Because if you cannot get past the pain and the roadblocks in your life, then you know what? Your growth will be stunted. That's just the way that it is, okay? So what my goal here today is not to dig up some bad memory in your life, okay, and make you horrible, but what my goal is today is to teach you that the Bible has the doctrine of transformation so that when you get hurt and pain enters your life, you can deal with it appropriately the way that the Bible says that you can, and you can continue to grow in your life of faith, okay? So here's the doctrine of transformation. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11, it says, all right, so let's walk through this. Remember, look at it with a mind that there is a transformation happening here. So it says, therefore, humble yourself. Okay? So sometimes pride is the biggest obstacle in our lives because we can't, you know, usually the person who says, you cannot hurt my feelings is a very sensitive person. That's a defense mechanism, all right? And so sometimes what we do is we put up these walls and we say, this is the kind of person that I am. But if you break through those walls, you actually find people who get hurt very easily. Okay? In fact, sometimes people who tell you everything that's in their mind, if you tell them everything in your mind, you'll hurt their feelings. Okay? Sometimes who we are, who we project we are, is actually very different than the way that we accept things. All right? And sometimes very sensitive people can deal with pain in a different way because they are very sensitive. And they are so sensitive that even when you're hurting them, they can look at you and they can look at you with a sensitive eye. Now, they may destroy themselves in the process, but typically they're not some people who respond in a negative way. Okay? So there's all this stuff going on into our personalities. What you need to do here today is just have a hard look at who you really are and how you are transforming according to the scripture. All right? So let's look. So we have to humble ourselves. That is the ultimate part of becoming a Christian, is identifying that I am wrong, I am a sinner, and without Jesus Christ in my heart, I am no good, and I will not get to heaven. Okay, that is the first step, the humbling of yourself to accept Christ's sacrifice into our lives. And if you've never done that, then we're going to have a moment at the end of the service where you can come up and we can walk you through that, and you can leave here today a Christian, okay? Now, for those of us who have gone through that, that is a daily part of our walk. In fact, the Bible says, pick up your cross daily, die to yourself, and follow me. All right, that's what the Bible says to do. So there's a humbling that has to happen here. And you have to recognize that, yes, I have been hurt. And yes, I hurt people, and I'm wrong, okay? So that is the first mindset that has to happen, is that I am human and I am capable of being hurt. And it says there that, and he may exalt you in due time, all right? So once there is the humbling, then there is the other eye that looks and says that even though I'm humbling myself now and I'm dealing with this situation, The Lord will get me through it in an appropriate way, and I will be exalted in a manner that he deems appropriate at the end of this transformation. Okay? So there it is. The good news, there's start out with the rough stuff. We get to the good news right at the beginning. Okay? Number one, cast all your cares upon him. He wants to load the pain that's in your body. He wants to take that from you. So let him have it. But sometimes it becomes who we are, and it becomes what drives us, and who, you know, the anger that's built inside of it, and that becomes who we are, and that becomes who drives us each every part of the day, that sometimes we don't want to let go of that pain because it might change who we are. What would I live for if I don't hate that person anymore? What would cause me to get up and be the person that I am? What would I strive to do? We're afraid to let go of it. But he wants to take the pain away from each and every one of us. So give him your cares. Give him your pain. Here's the other one. Be sober. Okay? Have a mind to understand that I am hurt. I need to deal with this appropriate. And I need to be vigilant about it. I need to deal with the pain each and every time it comes into my life. Because if I let it sit there, then it's going to grow and it's going to become a cancer inside of my life. So you have to be sober-minded and you have to be vigilant about dealing with this negative stuff that comes into your life. Because it can change who you are. It can stunt your spiritual growth. It can transform you into someone that God did not want you to be. Okay? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. So you have to understand that the devil wants you to hang on to your pain. He wants you to grab it. He wants you to hurt others when you're hurt. He wants you to let that build up and to grow inside of you so that you actually have hatred in your heart. That's what the devil wants. That's what he wants, is you to deal with your pain in an inappropriate way. Not according to the Bible. Do it the way I'm telling you to do it. Hate that person back. They hurt you. What are you talking about? Forgive them. What are you talking about? Moving on. You're not going to move on. We're going to sit and think about this for the next 6 months and how much we hate them. And that's what's going to drive us through these days. Okay? That's what the devil wants, because he wants to devour you, leave you as a carcass. And I'm telling you, if you understand how pain can come into your life, sometimes you can look at yourself and see that you have just been left as a carcass out in the desert. There's nothing left there. Okay, that's an awful imagery, isn't it? But that is the imagery, and that is the reality that pain can happen in your life. Resist him. Stay steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same kind of pain and suffering that is going through you are experienced by everyone. So at this time, this is a good place where I can say, you're not special. Everyone's dealing with pain. Everyone has been hurt. And let me say this, okay? Let me say this. If you're sitting here today and you're like, nope, I've never been hurt. I'm not hurt right now. Nobody can hurt me. Then you need to come up and have a talk with Jesus, okay? Because you might be dealing with a hard heart. So there's all that going on, all right? So you're not special. Everybody's dealing with pain. And it's something that each and every one of us have to handle appropriately. But may the God of all grace, remember last week, in order to get peace, you have to have grace first. Grace is God's gift. We know that Jesus Christ is God's gift. Grace can only come through Jesus Christ, and you can't find peace without grace. So without Jesus Christ, there is no peace. Got it? Who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, here it is, you're going to suffer for a while, but everything, there's a season for everything. There's a season for healing. There's a season for war. There's a season for pain, but there is a season for healing. Some of us need to step on into the season of healing to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That right there, perfect, establish, strengthen, settle. That can all be summed up in one word, sanctification. That's what the process of sanctification can do to you. Perfect you. It can establish you in your faith. It can strengthen you to get through the day. And it can settle you so that you come out of this more mature. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right? So Let me leave you with some steps here. The biblical process of healing. We just looked at the doctrine of transformation, how you start out humble, understand that you need help, give all your pain away to Jesus Christ, let him handle it, because only through Jesus Christ can come the peace. And after he has come into your life, he can establish you, perfect you, and then settle you to be more mature. That's the transformational process, okay? Now, let's look at some steps. And if you don't usually take notes, I would encourage you to take notes here, okay? This is the biblical process of how to appropriately deal with pain. Number one is you have to confront your pain. As ugly as it is, as hurtful it is, you have to confront it. 2 Corinthians tells us that nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, now look at this, the veil is taken away. Okay? So Jesus Christ wants to remove the veil that is blinding you. He wants to remove the thing that is separating you from your spiritual growth. He wants to remove that veil that removes all the intimacy between you and him. And when you don't deal with pain appropriately, then that becomes a barrier between you and Jesus Christ and your relationship with Jesus Christ. And what scripture this is referring to is when Moses came out of Mount Sinai, he had to put a veil across his face because of the glory of God shone off of him. Because he was face to face with, you know, he was having conversations with God. And so when he came out of there, he would almost glow in the dark. And the people weren't ready for that. Okay, so they put a veil so that they can handle it, which is the promise of the Messiah. But then when Jesus Christ dies and he gives up his body for you and I, then what happens? That veil that separated us from the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could ever go into, it was torn from top to bottom, which meant that God ripped it open for us, and now he wants to come and speak to us face to face and have communion with us. All right, so the first thing that you have to do is confront it and to confront it appropriately. The next one is, and we talked about this, is to give your pain to Jesus. He wants to take it from you. Let go of it. It might be your security. And this does not make sense unless you're dealing with this in this way. But sometimes the pain in our lives becomes our security blanket. Okay? It becomes what we blame everything on. It becomes our motivation for things. But what we end up doing, and that sounds awful, doesn't it? But that's what we end up doing, is taking the pain in our lives, and it ends up being our security blanket. And Jesus Christ is here today saying, let's get rid of this thing. Let's remove the barriers. Let's come and have face-to-face talk. Let's really talk. Let's start dealing with your soul. Let's start nurturing it. Let's start getting it in a healthy place. Because sometimes when you dealt with this for so long, you just don't realize how hurt you really are. And Jesus Christ is the great physician. And he can heal your broken heart today. Psalms 147:3 tells us he heals the broken heart and binds up their wounds. He can do that for you today. But you have to let it go and give it to Jesus. And then once you give it to Jesus, then here's the promise that he will comfort you. This is what we talked about last week, right? The doctrine of comfort. He will comfort you in all trials, from all pain, in all situations, forever. That's the promise that Jesus Christ gives us associated with pain, is that he will provide you with the comfort that you need at the level that you require in every situation, every single time you go to him. Number four, be renewed. Real quick, let me back up. On this one, then you are comforted at a place to where you can become a comforter. All right? So let's move on. Number four, be renewed and be released. What's this mean? This is the act of healing right here. So we've had a couple steps at this point. Number four is a very critical step. It's critical for several reasons, all right? Because until you allow yourself to be renewed away from the pain, and you have allowed Jesus Christ to nurture and heal your broken heart and your broken spirit, then you can be renewed. Okay, now I'm not talking about at the beginning where you become a Christian. I'm talking about what David prayed after his son died and after he had buried himself in the dust for several days, refused to eat, to mourn, and then he looked up to God and said, remind me of the joy of my salvation. In fact, he is coming to this, to step four. This is where David was at that point. He's at step four here where he's like, renew my soul, make me the new person, not affected by the pain, so that I can be released from the chains of this pain. And right now, some of us are in some heavy-duty chains of some heavy-duty pain. All right? So once we get through step one, two, and three, step four is critical. And this is where you allow yourself to be renewed, because you're not ever going to go back to hanging on to that pain again. You're not ever going to use it as an excuse or as a crutch or as a security blanket. You are renewed. It's your life renewed away from this pain. And you have to, this is a lot of faith and trust in this step here. So you got to pray up a lot before you can ever enter into step four. Because step four is critical. If you're really going to get to the healthy place that Jesus Christ can get you to, step four is critical. Because step four says, from now, you're going to walk removed from this pain. You have a new life ahead of you. All right? You are renewed in all things are renewed because the Spirit of God can wipe away anything in this life. And in verse 32 out of Ephesians 4 says, and then to be completely renewed and to be completely released. Now I need your attention here just for a second. All right, because I need you to understand what it says to do. Then you have to be kind to one another, tenderhearted. And then you see this one right here. Ooh, that's the big one there, isn't it? Now we're talking about forgiving. That's the step for health, to forgive. Now, I'm not talking about where you buddy up with them and you, okay? I'm not talking about that. But you have to get to a place in your life to where you can look at them and say, you know what? I understand. I understand. You were awful to me. You hurt me. But you know what? With the wisdom that the Holy Spirit is providing me and with the ability to see life in a different manner, renewed in my spirit, I can look at you and say, you know what? You no longer have a hold on me. I forgive you. And that is a great, healthy place to be. But it's hard to get there. It is hard to get there. And it takes a lot of praying, a lot of faith to step out in that new life, renewed, released from the pain, and also released from the person who hurt you. Because you think about this. If you've been hurt by somebody years and years ago, and you're carrying that hurt and pain around with you, and it's affecting who you are today, then there could be some instances where your children's lives are affected, and they are affected by someone that they've never met or known. Isn't that outrageous? But that's what we've done. Is we've let someone come into our heart and our body and our mind and hurt us in a way to where they carry on throughout our lives with the scar of how they hurt us, and it's affecting who we are today. And they are still controlling our lives, even though we've probably never seen them in years or talked to them in years. Release it. Allow yourself to be renewed. And then that step to complete number four, forgive. Forgive. And number five is receive the freedom that comes from releasing this pain and forgiving. And this says that, but we with unveiled faces. Isn't that great? Isn't that great right there, huh? That's where we started out was, right? Remove the veil. And now here we are with unveiled faces, allowing the glory of, we don't have to hide the glory of Jesus anymore. Huh? We're not like Moses. We can unveil our faces, and then we can walk around, and the glory of Jesus Christ can shine off of us. And people can look at us and say, well, how did they get through that? How do they carry on? How do they take that pain in their life and move off in a new direction? It seems like they're unfettered by the pain that was in their life, and you can just let the glory of Jesus Christ shine off of you and be your ministry. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? And if the glory of Jesus shines off of you, it's got to land on somebody else. Okay? Now you're talking about true transformation, taking pain and turning it into spiritual gain, because you are more mature, you are changed in a better way, renewed and brought through as a new creature, changed and transformed by Jesus Christ. And that can only happen, now think about that, that can only happen because that pain came into your life. Paul gave glory to his pain. Now, he prayed for it to be removed from him 3 times. Prayed for it once. God said no. But Paul was thankful for the pain in his life. Isn't that right? He said, I give thanks for everything that's happened in my life because it's made me who and brought me to who where I am today. And then there will come a time, I promise you, there will come a time when you can look at the person or at the process or at the situation that hurt you and you can be thankful that that came into your life. And some of you are looking at me today like I got 3 heads. Like I will never get to that point. I'm telling you, Jesus paid it all. He can take you through anything and get you to a healthy place. Amen? So confront the pain. Allow Jesus Christ to take it from you. Be comforted. Become a comforter. Be renewed in your spirit. Released. Ready to give forgiveness. And then 5, celebrate the liberty by allowing the glory of Jesus Christ to beam off of you. Stand with me this morning. This is a tough, tough issue to deal with. And here's the thing. Every single one of us eventually has to deal with this subject. We're all human. We all hurt one another. We all get hurt. And we have to get our place appropriately transformed by the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ living through us to get to a place to where we can look back on the pain and say, thank you. Isn't that amazing? And if you're looking at me today like I don't understand how you can get to that place, come up here today and we can get you started on that transformational journey. I promise you. We come to the altar for a lot of things. In response to the message, in the things that the Holy Spirit is driving up in us to deal with today. If you've had a celebration this week, come up and give thanks to it. Let the church know so that we can all celebrate with you. And if you're hurting today, come up and let's all allow us to pray with you and to bear your problems as if they are our own, which is the obligation of the church. We've got a children's church camp ready to go this week. We should all be down here on the altar praying that miraculous things happen and dealing with our youth, and we can become a church on fire, ready to go and be lit by our youth. So I'm going to open up to you this morning. Come for whatever reason the Holy Spirit's driving you to come.